Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 122 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of hoops tonight. We've got the big Jaghawk rematches coming up on Friday, and tonight we're going to be focusing on both Centennial squads. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Centennial boys coach Bob Fontana and one of his top players, and we'll also be talking to one of the players on the Centennial girls team who is trying to get back on the court after recovering from a knee injury. But right now, let's bring in our first guest. He is the head coach of the Centennial girls team, and he's guided the Jaguars to a 9-1 record and a number 5 ranking in Class 5A. He is Scott DeYoung. Scott, thanks for joining me on the phone. How are you doing?
Absolutely. Glad to be here. I'm doing good.
Good. Oh, I'm doing good. Well, hey, your team was supposed to host Des Moines Roosevelt last night, but of course the game was canceled due to the weather. I'm sure you would have liked to have had that game as a tune-up for Friday. Do you know if that game will be rescheduled?
Yeah, I think we're looking at February the 13th.
Okay.
That's the tentative date from what I don't think it's been officially set yet, but I think it's the 13th of February.
All right. Well, it sounds like we're getting another storm this weekend, so I hope it doesn't impact Friday's game.
Hopefully not. We don't, you know. If you look at these schedules, they're crazy. Some teams are, I've looked at a couple schools that have about 9 games yet here in the last 2.5 weeks. So, you know, you're trying to make up games, and then you've got games that you're trying to make up from earlier and snow outs. It's going to be, you know, a real interesting here the last, you know, couple weeks of the season.
Well, for sure. Yeah, if you lose that one Friday, it'd be hard to find time to make it up maybe. But, yeah, it sounds like maybe the storm's coming in later this weekend, so hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, I thought it was Saturday and Sunday, but I haven't looked.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. Well, before we dive into Friday's game, let's talk about how your season has gone thus far. I believe you guys were ranked 7th in the preseason, so it's not like your 9-1 start has been a total surprise. But, obviously, your team has had a really good season thus far. You know, did you think back in November that this team had this kind of potential, you know, especially when you consider that Cleo Murray has been out all season?
Yeah, we had high expectations coming into the season. We have some key players back. You know, Maggie brings an ingredient that's really good. So just the combination of the kids we had coming back, you know, we were very optimistic. So, you know, I can't say it's been, you know, especially with the schedule we've had, you know, we think all the games that we've played so far, we should have come out on top. But, you know, we think we're still making progress. So, yeah, high expectations we had for ourselves, and, you know, they had the finish. We still think we have a lot of room to grow as a team.
Well, one of the highlights for your team came right before Christmas when you guys rolled to a 79-43 victory at Ames, and that was the 650th win of your coaching career. And I know you didn't pay much attention to reaching that milestone. I think you were more happy about your team's performance that night. But if your team could play like that every night, you know, don't you think this team, you know, could be able to contend for a state title?
Well, we're certainly in the mix, you know. Yeah, the ball was moving that night. You know, we've been able to play. We've got a good defensive team. We're versatile defensively, and when we get other people chipping in on the scoreboard on the point side, that makes us hard to guard. So, yeah, we're very excited about the expectations, and you know, we've got a tough last part of the season. I think that'll be good for us, and we're excited to see how it unfolds.
Well, you mentioned Maggie earlier. Maggie Phipps set a school record in that win with 31 points, and she's obviously been a huge addition to the team after transferring from North Polk. She's currently averaging 20.3 points per game, and that'll also be another school record if she continues to score at that pace. Now, she was named to the Iowa 8 by the Des Moines Register before the season, and of course, she had already committed to play for Drake, so you knew you were getting a good player, but has she been even better than maybe you thought she'd be?
You know, we've played against Maggie in the summer, and I've heard about her, but you know, really didn't know her at all and really didn't know her game at all. But the things that she's able to do on the offensive end have, you know, been a pleasant surprise. She's, you know, she can shoot it, she can drive it, she's very strong. She's just a very, very versatile player. And all the things that she can bring to the table, you know, just rises the level of everybody else on the team. So, and then she's been a great teammate on top of that. So, on the other side of the floor, you know, I when she came in here, I wasn't too excited about her rebounding ability, but she's been able, her defense and rebounding have really, really come along. She's, you know, become a well-rounded player. And I think the biggest probably attribute to her is that everybody else kind of raises their level right along with her. And that's what great players do.
I think the thing about her game that impresses me the most is her ability to drive to the basket and pull up for that, you know, mid-range jumper, because she just knows how to navigate those angles and where the defender is at. I mean, she can pretty much get her shot off anytime she wants, can't she?
She's really good at that. And, you know, I think that's just a tribute to her, you know, working on that. But she's really, really strong and still athletic. And, you know, she pulls up in the lane. And, you know, a lot of teams are putting a smaller player on her quicker because, you know, I think that's what I would do too, put quickness on her. But when she gets in the lane, that strength and the ability to go up and shoot in the paint is hard to stop, yes.
Well, your team suffered its only loss at Valley, 61-47 on January 9th. But since then, you guys have rebounded with four straight wins. What did you guys learn from that loss?
Well, I think we learned that we have to have a balanced team. I mean, we did not shoot the ball well in that game. And, you know, in the past years, if we weren't scoring like we didn't against Valley, our defense was going to keep us right in the game. And, you know, I know what Valley had, 60-some points. You know, it was a real disappointing defensive effort. And, you know, Valley played great, so I'm not going to take anything away from Valley. They played really, really good. But, you know, we've worked on a lot of stuff. You know, the defense that we've seen, we hadn't seen that before. We've worked on that, you know, every week in practice. And that's how you get better, right? So that's how we've looked at it, where we wanted to grow from that.
Well, yeah, I know Valley used a box and one in that game, and Maggie did have 13 points in the first half of that game, but then they held her to two in the second half. And like you said, I'm sure, you know, some of your future opponents may try a defense like that.
Oh, I'm sure they will. So that's why we've been practicing it all the time. So, you know, I think we'll be more ready for it than we were. Well, there's no question. We might not win, but we'll be more prepared. So, and I think the other kids know when they, you know, when the opportunities come their way, they have to step up too. So I think we've all learned a lot of things in the loss from a coaching standpoint, a player standpoint, and a systematic standpoint. And, you know, that's how you grow during the season. You need those games. And we're going to get a lot of them down the stretch here, and that's going to be good for us if we want to, you know, accomplish our goals at the end of the season.
Well, Maggie is your only player averaging in the double figures. After her, it's kind of been a team effort this season. Lizzie Strom, Jackie Pippett, and Bella Robin are all averaging about 8 points per game. And Lizzie in particular has really come on strong of late. She's averaging 14 points over the last three games. You know, do you feel like it's pretty important to have a second scorer emerge for you guys, you know, in case Maggie ever does have an alpha night?
Well, there's no doubt. And I think we don't have another double figure scorer, but if you look at how many games we've had double score players in double figures, it's been a lot. You know, off the bench, we've had Olivia, we've had McKenna Clark, and we've had Lizzie Strom score in double figures. You know, alone Jackie and Bella. So I think we have them. It's just we're deep. Our kids haven't gotten, you know, logged lots and lots of minutes. And I think if we played less kids, we'd see another, you know, couple kids in double figures. So you start adding Bella and Lizzie, they kind of play the same position, and you add Olivia and Jackie, then all of a sudden you got, you know, at least three players in good double figures.
Well, yeah, you may not know on any given night who that double figure score is going to be, but it seems like somebody's always there to step up.
That's correct, and that needs to continue.
Well, I mentioned Cleo earlier, and of course she's on her way back after recovering from knee surgery last summer, and you told me that she's been practicing lately, so do you think she's close to returning?
Is just a tough injury, and you know, she hasn't really been in competition since I think about 8 months ago, maybe nine. So yes, she's really progressed a lot since the beginning of January. So we're hoping you know, next week, maybe the end of next week, that we can get her on the court and then, you know, kind of see what happens. So yeah, a lot of strides. She's progressing, and you know, working really, really hard. So we feel good about that part of it.
Well, I know when she's healthy, you know, she could give you another wing player who can do many of the things that Maggie does, maybe not to the same degree, but, you know, she'd be another nice weapon to have, wouldn't she?
Yes, she would. her playing like she was, you know, last year, that would certainly be a big, big bonus to our team coming down the stretch of the season.
Well, I know you told me, you know, before the season even started that you didn't want to rush her back because you don't want to jeopardize her future, but you are getting close to the end of the season now, and I'm sure you'd like to get her a couple of games under her belt before the postseason starts. So that's probably kind of a fine line there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's, you know, we had Keanu Williams a few years ago with this, but, you know, it's, we haven't had, you know, you don't see a lot of a kid that's coming back and getting into the mix at the end of the year. So there's a lot of dynamics there, and, you know, we're just going to play it out game by game starting probably next Friday. And, you know, she will get a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, and, you know, kind of see how she, how it unfolds. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough to work your way back. But, you know, if anybody can do it, Cleo can.
Well, speaking of the postseason, do you know when those regional pairings are going to be announced?
I'm guessing about the very last week. I don't have my calendar here, but probably after our Tuesday game, I think that's about when they came out last year with one game left. So I think you're looking at whatever that would be, about exactly 2 weeks from now, something like that.
All right. Well, at this point, you guys have undoubtedly earned a number one seed for your region based on the season that you've had. But the depth of Class 5A is, you know, pretty strong this year because you could see a team like, you know, number 12 Valley or number 13 Ankeny in a regional final, I'm guessing. So the road to state's not going to be easy, is it?
Something like that last year, and we went up to Cedar Falls and had two or three Division Ones, and we played them tooth and nail right to the very end. So, yeah, we know that. That's how it is. You know, maybe the number one seed might have a game that's a little bit easier, but I don't think that's probably the case this year. You know, there's just too many good teams. So we're just focusing on, you know, once you get in the tournament, it's one and done. So you better take care of your business. And you know, if you don't, you're probably not going to advance.
Well, let's talk about Friday's game. You guys defeated Ankeny in the first meeting 3 weeks ago, 57-41. But the Hawkettes have reeled off four straight wins since that game, including an impressive 66-55 victory at Ames on Saturday. You know, so they're really playing well, aren't they?
Well, I think they played well all season long. I mean, they got a really, really good team. They're well drilled. They're well coached. You know, anytime you got a one of the top point guards in the state, and then you got another scorer like Johnson, I mean, that's a tough 1-2 duo. And then they've got a lot of experience, right? I think a four-year player, Mashoff's a four-year player. So, and you know, Johnson would be, but she was out last year. So they've got a lot of experience and they're talented. So, and I think that's the results you're seeing from them.
Well, Ankeny had 10 three-pointers in that win, six of them in the first quarter. And when they shoot like that, you know, they can be pretty tough. So I'm sure defending the three-point line is going to be one of the things that you're going to emphasize, right?
Well, I think that's how the game is now, you know. I mean, when you play it again, you play any of these teams, there's just a lot of three-point shots going up. And, you know, you better be able to defend it because if they go in, you're in some trouble. So, you know, it's one thing to say that, but then when you got to defend the dribble, and you know, there's a lot of things going on there that that makes it harder to defend the 3-point line. But yeah, they've shot it well for most of the season. Maybe not quite so good against us the first time, but we know that probably won't happen again.
Well, Maggie had 21 points in that first game and was able to get to the free throw line. She went 10-for-10, and Pippett added 18 points and 8-of-9 shooting. So obviously, you guys were able to get the ball inside as well. Do you think Ankeny might try, you know, something different defensively this time?
They've been a very good defensive team. I mean, it wasn't like we were scoring easy baskets the last time, but you know, we've had a lot of practice time and we've worked at, you know, a lot of variety of defenses. So you know, typically our philosophy has always been if you can get them to play something other than what they do best, that maybe is an advantage to you at the end of the day. So you know, but when you get into the second time around, this would be really our first time of playing, you know, one of the better teams a second time. You'd get your weaknesses checked, and I think that's good for you going down the tournament trail.
Sure. Well, Ankeny was supposed to play at Dowling last night, but that game was postponed as well and was rescheduled for tomorrow night. So the Hawkettes will be playing their second game in two nights when they host you. So do you think that has any kind of advantage for your team?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'd have to ask after the game. I mean, we'll probably have an hour and a half practice. They got a 32-minute game, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out. Well, you mentioned the tough stretch that you guys have coming up. You guys will host number 2 Waukee on Tuesday, and then you'll also play at number 10 Dowling in the final week of the regular season. I'm sure you feel like those games are certainly going to help you prepare for the postseason.
Well, yeah, Ankeny, Waukee, Ames, who's got a good team, especially when they're healthy, and then Dowling. That's a good stretch. So, we'll find out. We'll know a lot more, a week and a half or 2 weeks from now about our team than we do now, because we really haven't been challenged that much. So, but it's going to be that way. And, you can practice those situations, but you're never for sure how you're going to react till you get in them. But, we were playing 4 seniors, a lot. And I think that really helps that senior leadership. And, our younger kids are getting, a lot of experience. So we feel pretty good where we're at, but, we're excited to see how much we can improve here. With the schedule we have.
Well, I know Waukee's season has been on pause due to COVID-19. They haven't played since January 8th when they lost to Johnston in a rematch of last year's championship game. Do you know yet if Tuesday's game is still planned, be played as scheduled?
Yeah, I think they would have, in talking to their coach, they've had it's tough when you get the COVID. I mean, obviously, they were out. I think they would have played Tuesday, but it probably got snowed out. So, that's the problem. They were probably stacking up some games and ready to go, and then you got a snow out. So, and that's for all of us. The dead drop date is probably about next Friday or Saturday, because then the tournaments start, right? So
right.
If your team goes down with COVID after that week, you're basically done. So, the games are one thing, but the health is probably more important, because without the health, there's no games.
That's right.
We're proud of our team, how they've followed the protocols and, giving us every chance possibly we can to stay healthy.
All right, Scott. Well, hey, appreciate the time, and we'll see you at the game on Friday.
Absolutely, and thanks for the coverage. I keep looking for the articles in the Des Moines Register, but haven't found them yet. But no, I can always find yours. So we appreciate it. I know you do a lot for the city of Ankeny.
Hey, you bet. Thanks a lot, Scott. All right, my next guest is a junior wing player on the Centennial girls team, but she has yet to play this season due to a knee injury that she suffered last spring. However, she is back on the court practicing with the team and hoping to return to action soon. She is Cleo Murray. Cleo, thanks for joining me on the phone. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, let's go back to when you first suffered your injury and go from there. You got injured on May 11th while practicing with the All-Iowa Attack in Ames, and you tore your left ACL and part of your meniscus. Now, can you kind of describe how the injury occurred? It was on a no contact play, right?
To go bounce past it to one of my teammates in for a layup, and I just kind of hyperextended my knee wrong, and the rest is history.
Well, I remember you telling me, last spring or summer, when I talked to you, that it was like the most pain you'd ever felt in your life, right?
Yeah, it hurt really bad. It definitely is nothing like I've ever felt before, but we're all good now, so it's all that matters.
Well, yeah, you underwent surgery on June 4th, and were expected to be out about 6 months. What has been the hardest part of your recovery? Was it just the daily grind or rehab?
Yeah, it definitely was. There were days when obviously you learn that there's, good days, bad days, okay days of rehab, and it's really just, it was hard to get up on those bad days or days that I didn't want to go in and rehab or days that I didn't want to get out of bed to get there early in the morning, but I'm definitely better for it, and I'm excited about my comeback.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you knew, you were in for a long, tough road ahead of you when it happened. Has it been as difficult as you thought it would be?
It's definitely, I think, been more difficult. It's definitely, the hardest thing I've had to go through in my lifetime, I think, just because, you prepare yourself for it, I think, but you don't know, the road ahead of you is, it's a very long road, and here we are, 8 months post-op, and I'm still on the road, obviously, but it's just, it's been difficult.
Now, when did you start practicing?
I started back practicing.
So. All right. Well, I just talked to Coach DeYoung, and he mentioned that you might be able to get back onto the court maybe towards the end of next week. So do you feel like you're getting close to being 100%, or are you still a little ways away?
I feel really good about where I'm at. I think I've made a lot of progress. Obviously, since I first stepped out on the court, I was a little bit timid, I think, just because the idea that I haven't been on the court in 7 months. But I think I've made progress every day, and I've made strides, and I'm really excited to just get back out on the court, even if it's just the practice court right now.
Do you feel like you still need to improve a little more, physically, or is it more of a mental thing at this point?
learning to read the defense again, being in the game type scenarios, I think is something that I need to improve on. But I think I'm physically, if not where I was before, better than pre-injury.
All right. Well, obviously the team has been able to succeed despite your absence. The addition of Maggie Phipps has certainly been a big reason why. Did you know how good she was going to be, you know, when she joined the team?
Yeah, actually, I played up at All Iowa Tech with her. I've played the past three summers with her, so I've obviously seen her up there at practice or watched her in a game or two. So I obviously knew what she was capable of, but I think being on a school team versus just practicing with her up at Attack, I've realized like how not only good of a basketball player she is, but she's also a great teammate and she makes everybody around her better.
Yeah, she's been fun for me to watch. I'd heard a lot about her, but obviously hadn't seen her play. And yeah, it's been fun to watch her. Well, even though you know you knew you were going to miss most of the season, has it been hard for you to sit on the bench and watch the games?
It definitely has. And I think over the summer, I traveled with my AAU team, and I've watched probably like over 100 games the past 7 months. But I would say I'm definitely better for it. It just allowed me to take a step back, I think, and just kind of put the game into a perspective and see things that I otherwise wouldn't see if I was on the court.
So what do you do during the games? Have you been keeping stats, or do you just try to watch the game and see what you can do to help the team once you do come back?
It just kind of depends. A little bit of both. Coach Runchy usually has me keep a stat or two, or if I'm not doing that, then I'm just watching the game or cheering for my teammates. I mean, it just really depends what the team needs I'm there for.
All right. Well, your game is somewhat similar to Maggie's because you can shoot three-pointers and you also have that ability to attack the basket. Do you think you guys will be able to complement each other once you're on the court?
I think we definitely will be. I think we both have a really good idea of how we play. And obviously coming from the same AAU club, we have that quick pace that we can get it up the court quick and find each other in transition or find the open man. So I'm really excited to get out on the court with Maggie.
Well, I know Coach DeYoung said that he didn't want to rush you back because he didn't want to jeopardize your future, but we are getting to the end of the season. I'm sure you'd like to get a couple of games in before the start of a postseason play. So it's kind of a fine line there, isn't it?
It definitely is, and I think, you know, I've done everything I possibly can to get back and help my teammates, but at the end of the day, it's just really what Coach DeYoung wants to do and what he thinks is best for the team.
So is that going to be his decision then on when you go?
I'm scheduled to be back February 5th, actually, next Friday is 8 months exactly, so it's pretty exciting. But I think it's his decision at the end of the day whether he thinks that I'm prepared to be out on the court or if I'm better suited for maybe waiting a little longer.
All right. Well, I know you were originally hoping to maybe be back for that first game against Ankeny earlier this month, and obviously that didn't happen. And now you guys have the rematch against the Hawkettes coming up on Friday. You know, I'm sure you'd love to play, but even if you don't, what do you think is going to be the key for you guys to beat Ankeny again?
I would say stopping penetration into the lane. That really hurt us. That really hurt us at the beginning of January, I guess. And they were able to get open shots that they maybe didn't make the first time, but they're definitely playing a lot better this time around. They're looking pretty good. They look good against Ames. So I think it's just stopping that penetration and playing our game on the offensive floor and not letting them speed us up.
Well, a win on Friday would have clinched at least a share of the conference title for you guys. Now, is winning the conference a big goal for your team, or do you guys not really talk about it that much?
I mean, obviously, it's always a goal, I think, for us to either win the conference or, if not that, win, have a winning record. But we don't talk about it a ton, but we definitely know it's there.
Well, I know you guys have some bigger goals in mind that you want to accomplish, right?
Yes, for sure.
Well, clearly, you had a really good sophomore season last year, averaging 9.5 points and 3.8 rebounds, and I'm sure you were starting to hear from some college coaches. Do you think your recruiting was affected at all by your injury? Do you think some of the coaches are maybe waiting to see you get back on the court and see how you do?
Yeah, a majority of the coaches I've talked to, obviously they told me that being injured isn't going to, like, stop them from communicating with me or, like, talking to me or stop the recruiting process for me, but I've gone on a few visits, and I've talked to a good amount of coaches, so they're just waiting to see how I come back and how my game is after this long break.
All right, Cleo. Well, hey, thanks for your time tonight. I really appreciate it, and I'm anxious to see you back on the courts. I hope it's soon. So thanks again for your time.
Of course. Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Centennial Boys Squad, and he has guided the Jaguars to a 9-1 record and a number 4 ranking in Class 4A. He's Bob Fontana. Bob, thanks for joining me on the phone. How are you doing?
Good, Dan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Well, hey, Bob, I wanted to start out by extending my sympathy to one of your assistant coaches, Mark West. Mark lost his father, Howard, today, and Howard is actually my aunt Ramona's brother, so I've certainly been thinking of Mark and his family today. I was sorry to hear that news.
Yeah, I was too. Mark's been in close contact with me, and he'd actually talked to me late this morning and said he was going in to talk to, you know, the social worker and everything and that, and then he said, I probably won't be at practice, and I said, I obviously understand, and I came out of practice, and I checked that I had a message from him, and he let me know that his dad had passed, so our thoughts and prayers are with Mark West and his family.
Sure. Well, before we dive into Friday's game, let's talk about your season up to this point. Obviously, you guys have had a really good year, but coming off a 24-3 season and a fourth-place finish in the state tournament, you know, you had to replace some really big pieces from last year's squad. Did you think this team had the potential to be as good as it's turned out to be?
You know, Dan, and you're right, no pun intended, we did have to replace some big pieces. But, you know, I thought we could be more of a perimeter-oriented team, and I knew we had some kids that could handle the ball and had some kids that can shoot it, and, you know, the kids have met our expectations, and we just try to get better one day at a time. So, you know, I guess when you see it on a daily basis, it doesn't surprise you as much as if you only saw us once in a while. So a credit to our kids, you know, they've done a good job of playing together and meeting expectations. So I'm very proud of our guys.
Well, your point guard, Jerron Cruz, was a returning all-stater, but he certainly stepped up his game. He's averaging 16 points and 5 assists per game. You know, he's been a good leader for you, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been a really good catalyst, and, you know, the kids look to him a lot. And, you know, and Jerron's the type of player, you know, he could go out and get you 25, and the night we beat Ames, he scored 4 and he had 10 assists and like 5 rebounds. So he can help you in multiple ways. And the thing that I'm so proud of him is how he's accepted his role, no matter what that role is, offensively or defensively.
Well, Colin McAleer was your only other returning starter, and he's currently averaging about 11 points and 6 rebounds per game. Now, you've asked him to play a little bit of a different role this year, and he's definitely responded, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. And, you know, we knew he could shoot it, but he's done a better job this year and improved in finishing at the rim. And we've asked him to basically guard multiple positions other than the other team's point guard. So, you know, he's done a nice job of accepting his role as well.
We've had several other guys step up at times, including freshman Leo Aguirre, who is also averaging in double figures. He scored a career-high 21 points, including 16 in the second half of your team's 55-53 victory at Ames right before Christmas, and that was arguably the best win you guys have had this season. Do you think that game showed what Leo and this team are capable of?
Oh, yeah, I think so, and, you know, I tell you what, is, you know, that game, we were getting outplayed the first half, and you're down by 13 at half on the road against a very, very good basketball team. And to show the moxie and the grit that our kids had the second half, and I know Leo had a big second half, but we had some other kids do some things. You know, Brock Jensen's got 8 rebounds, I think, in the second half, and just some kids playing some big defensive possessions for us was huge. So, yeah, that was a big shot in the arm going into Christmas break, and it showed our team what we could do.
Well, Caden Killing is another guy who's come on strong of late, averaging 11 points over the last 4 games. He looks like he's really found his role on this team.
Yes, he has. You know, we didn't have him for about 10 days because he had to quarantine because of somebody in his family that had COVID. And so for him to come back and then pick it up, you know, and the way he's been contributing on both the offensive and defensive ends, that's obviously a huge plus for us.
Well, you mentioned Brock Jensen there a minute ago, and he's another guy I wanted to ask you about. The senior's averaging 8.3 points per game and has started about every game, I think, after playing in only 6 games last year. You know, he seems like he's kind of a glue guy for your team. Did he just have to wait his turn to play?
Dan, yeah, he did have to. And when you get stuck behind some of the guys he was playing behind last year, and then he broke his rest the night before our first game, because last year he was going to be about our 9th, 10th man. Well, then he was out until the middle of January. So then by that time, you got, you know, you have a month left in the regular season. And so he was really behind the eight ball in a number of different ways last year. But Brock, in my opinion, is our most improved player from last year to this year.
Yeah, he's definitely showed that. Well, and then your bench has also played a key role in your success. Jackson Snyder had the game-winning layup against Ames, and Chris Lewis is averaging about 8 points while playing mostly as a reserve this season. So you obviously have a lot of confidence in those bench guys too, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, those guys are, you know, they keep getting better, and they, you know, they had to find their way. This summer, we had about 6 workouts when we were allowed to do some things, and then we played about 6 games. And that was it. And so when you have that limited time with them in the off season, and then boy, you start practice for a week and you get shut down for a little over 2 weeks. So those guys have done a nice job coming along. And, you know, Chris has started 3 or 4 games for us. And I tell our guys, in my mind, I've got 6 or 7 starters. And, you know, as the season moves on, it's about matchups and things of that nature. So you could see us have a different starting lineup, you know, 2-3 games in a row.
Sure. Well, your team got off to a 5-0 start before dropping an 83-76 decision at Valley on January 9th. Now, that was the most points that a Centennial team has ever allowed. I was going to ask you what you guys learned from that loss, but it seems pretty obvious. You know, you got to take your defense on the road with you, don't you?
Yes, you do. You know what? Defense travels. And, you know, I've tried to instill in our kids that, you know, that's got to be your constant, because some nights you're going to shoot it well, and other nights you're not, but your defense has to be your constant. And, you know, that to score 76 points against a good team, you'd like to think you'd win. And we just couldn't get any stops that day. And hopefully we learned from that.
Well, you guys have since rebounded with, you know, 4 straight wins, including an impressive 57-49 victory at Des Moines Hoover a week ago. You know, you guys certainly played some defense that night.
Yeah, we did. We did a nice job. You know, they had those 3 guys that were averaging about 60, 61 points between them. And to hold them to 39 collectively, I thought we did an awesome job. We forced Hoover at that time into season-high turnovers. And it was definitely a team effort. And I told our kids afterwards, I said, you have to realize, you know, take the Valley game and what we didn't do, and take the Hoover game and what we did do, and there's your 2 benchmarks right there. So, you know, we have to decide as a team what our identity is going to be. So hopefully we learn from it.
Well, you guys went out traveling to Ankeny on Friday, and of course you won the first matchup 3 weeks ago, 71-56. Now, you missed that game because of an illness, so your assistant, Ben Lamock, took over that night. That had to be hard for you to sit at home and watch that game, but were you confident that Ben could step up and handle the job?
Yeah, I was. You know what, Dan? I've known Ben since he's been in 6th grade. He came up through our program at Kennedy, and he was a 3-year varsity starter for me. And so when it comes to terminology, he knows the terminology, he knows my philosophy. And of course, he's been with me at Centennial since day one. I was very confident that he could handle the job. And also, too, you know, I was in constant communication the day before, since I missed practice. And then I talked to the coaches before the game on a conference call. And then at halftime, we talked real quick for about 3 minutes. And then actually I made a phone call to the bench too in the second half. Our sophomore assistant took it, and I said, deliver this message. So it all worked out.
What was your message there in the second half?
Some things that we need to do differently and better.
Well, certainly worked out well for you. Well, Jaron had a huge game with 24 points, 10 assists, and 7 steals. He had 5 of your team's 13 three-pointers that night, and you guys were 13 of 23 from behind the arc overall. You know, when you shoot the ball like that, it does make it easier to win, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And you know, that was nice for that game. That doesn't mean it's going to win any other game. But, yeah, we shot it well that night. And we just need to know that we've got to be really solid on both ends of the floor, you know, if we're going to keep getting better.
Well, you guys were also able to force Ankeny into 23 turnovers, and that was critical because the Hawks did win the rebounding battle 31-20, and they shot 50% from the field when they didn't turn the ball over. So what do you think is going to be the key, you know, in the rematch? You know, does their size inside concern you at all? Because, you know, some of their big guys like Braden Simonson and J.J. Cole have been playing pretty well of late.
Got to play one possession at a time on each end of the floor, and you know, we know the rebounding is going to be big, and we know we got to be solid defensively no matter who they put on the floor, and then offensively we got to take care of the ball and just do what we do.
We guys currently have a two-game lead in the conference and can clinch at least a share of the league title with a win on Friday, and that'd be a nice accomplishment if you can finish the job, wouldn't it? Well, of course, you guys were supposed to play Roosevelt last night, and that game was postponed because of the weather, and Ankeny's game at Dowling was also postponed, and they're going to make that one up tomorrow night, so now the Hawks will be playing their second game in two nights when they host you. So do you think that is any kind of an advantage for your team? All right. Well, after
and they're looking at it. They haven't decided yet, but they're looking at a makeup date for us in Roosevelt. I know it won't happen this weekend because Roosevelt's playing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right. All right. Well, after Friday's game, your team will then face perhaps its toughest week of the season. And next week, you guys will host number 2 Waukee on Tuesday before hosting a rematch against Ames on Friday. Now, your team currently has a 20-game winning streak on your home court, but, you know, boy, extending it to 22 is going to be quite the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It'll be quite the challenge. So, you know, it's I look at our kids, and I tell them, I said, Ankeny's the best team on our schedule right now. That's all we're going to worry about.
Well, I know you're not looking ahead, but Waukee was the last team to beat you on your home court 2 years ago. The Warriors came here and posted a 59-36 victory. And, of course, Tucker DeVries and Peyton Sanford were both sophomores on that team, and now they're probably the two of the best seniors in the state. And now Waukee's added another blue chipper in the transfer from Dowling Catholic and Omaha Ballou. You know, this team just has size all over the court. You know, how are you guys or any team, for that matter, going to match up with them?
So that Waukee team reminds me of those Linmar teams, because Linmar had Prinny and Gibbs and Bohannon, and then they had I'm losing another kid's name right now that went to Drake, and then he transferred, I think, to Wyoming. But anyway, yeah, the Waukee group reminds me of some of those Linmar teams.
Oh, for sure. Well, and then the Ames team that you'll see next Friday is not the same team that you saw last month. The Little Cyclones have added a transfer from Waterloo in Travian LeBeau, who gives them another tall and athletic presence. And I was up in Ames on Saturday to see their win over Ankeny, and they seem to be putting things together, don't they? Oh, for sure. Well, now, I know the High School Athletic Association has announced the postseason assignments for Class 1A and 2A. Do you know when they're going to announce the 4A assignments?
Yep, they'll come out Friday about lunchtime.
Well, I'm sure you're anxious to see who you might have to see in the postseason, huh?
Yeah, I just hope that the powers to be look at taking us CIML teams and spreading us into four sub-states.
Well, I know in the past... you've had Hoover and Valley in your same sub-state about every year. I can't imagine they put all three in the same one again this year.
Well, you never know. Last year, neither one of those teams were with us because we were with Indianola, Johnston, Southeast Polk, Roosevelt, and Des Moines East. But, you look at the BC Moore Power Rankings, which goes by your schedule and your strength schedule and your record, and then they also have in there your offensive defensive average, and seven of the top 10 teams are in the CIML. And so then you have teams like, there's teams like Ankeny and Dowling that are very, very good, that are 5-4, 5-5. It's this area is loaded. It's brutal.
Oh, for sure. All right, Bob. Well, hey, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. And hey, I'll see you at the game on Friday. Hey, you bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior on the Centennial boys team, and he is committed to play next year for Midland University in Fremont, Nebraska. He is averaging about 11 points and 6 rebounds per game this season while shooting nearly 40% from three-point range. He is Colin McAleer. Colin, thanks for joining me on the phone tonight. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. Before we break down Friday's game against Ankeny, let's talk a little bit about the season up to this point. You guys are obviously off to a really good start. Have you been surprised by the team's success, considering that you and Jerron were the only returning starters from last year's squad?
No, not really. I mean, a lot of people probably didn't see us in the position we are having a 9-1 record. But, no, I'm not surprised because we had a lot of senior meetings this past summer, and we just talked about how we need to step up as seniors and be better leaders. And then incoming juniors are very hardworking kids. So, over the summer, we worked pretty hard other than just practicing and doing all the camps. A lot of people got extra shots up. I really just saw this coming, but a lot of people didn't. So,
all right. Well, Coach Fontana mentioned before the season started that your role might be a little different this year, and it certainly has been. You've had to play inside a little more, and you've more than doubled your rebounding average from a year ago. Have you been happy with the way that you've played in this new role?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, losing our two bigs from last year who were total studs on the rebounding end, I knew I was going to have to move with rebounding and defending, and I think I've done a pretty good job of rebounding so far this year. And just getting better defensively, guarding the bigs and stuff is different, but, yeah.
Well, you're shooting a higher percentage from three-point range this year, but you're not taking as many threes as you did last year when you were primarily a spot-up shooter. Last year, 78% of your shot attempts came from behind the arc, and this year that percentage is down to 57%. You've actually posted up occasionally this year, and it also seems like you're using pump fakes, to set up some drives to the basket. So is that something you feel like you need to do this year, was attack the basket more?
Yeah, I mean, last year, with the bigs, I feel like you just give them the ball and they can go score whenever we wanted. But this year we have a lot more, scores and perimeter players. So I knew that I have to work inside more and just get them open shots. And since we're big on shooting threes, have a lot of guards, and I just feel like I had to play inside more this year and open up better shots for them and just for the team.
Well, you got off to a great start this season. You tied your career high with 20 points and a win at Fort Dodge. Did you feel like it was important to step up in that first game since you guys were trying to break in some new players?
It was good to get off to a good start for the team and individually. I just feel like getting that first win of the season really got us going and just kept us going, really. Yeah.
Well, I talked earlier with Coach about your team's win at Ames right before Christmas when you guys battled back from a 15-point deficit to post a 55-53 victory. What did that win do for the team's confidence? Do you think it showed you guys what you're capable of?
Oh, for sure. I mean, a lot of people probably didn't think we were going to win that game. Andy's is a really good team. But we all know we could do it. And I feel like we can beat any really good team just because of what we have as a team. And then just with our confidence, I feel like it boosted it pretty well because we took that next step, really. I mean, we were down, what, 15 at half. Weren't playing very good the first half, but came out defensively the second half and really got it going.
Well, your team was cruising along until January 9th when you suffered your first loss at Valley. And I know Coach was unhappy with your team's defensive performance in that game, but Valley does have a couple of standouts that any team is going to have a hard time stopping. Ty Walker had 5 3-pointers in that game and scored 31 points. And Eli Raridan was a force inside with 27 points. Now, is Eli the kind of player that you guys are going to struggle with? Because, you know, your team really doesn't have a lot of size, you know, like it did last year.
Guys, we just didn't have a good game defensively and didn't really follow the game plan very well. But I think going forward, we'll get better at doing that, have a better chance of guarding bigs like him.
Well, your team has rebounded with 4 straight wins, and now is a chance to clinch at least a share of the conference title with a win over Ankeny on Friday. What do you think will be the key to beating the Hawks again?
For sure, rebounding. I think they out-rebounded us probably by 10 rebounds last time. We just need to be more physical on the boards. And really are setting ourselves down low.
Well, yeah, you had 8 points in that first win over Ankeny, including a couple of threes, and you guys really shot the lights out, going 13 of 23 from behind the arc, but you probably can't count on having another shooting like that one, can you?
I mean, never know. We do have a lot of great shooters on the team, so we'll see.
Well, you mentioned that they did out-rebound you in that first meeting. I think it was 31 to 20. Has that been a point of emphasis in practice this week? Sure. Well, I also talked with Coach about what a challenging week you guys will have next week when you host Waukee on Tuesday and then have a rematch against Ames on Friday. I know your team probably hasn't started preparing for Waukee yet, but you're obviously very familiar with them, you know, having played them twice last year. You guys gave Coach Fontan his 400th career victory with a huge win at Waukee during the regular season, but then the Warriors won the rematch in the Class 4A semifinals. Now, some people are calling Waukee one of the best high school teams ever after they added Omaha Ballou to their roster. What do you think you guys will have to do to have a chance to knock them off? All right. Well, Colin, I just wanted to ask you a couple questions about Midland before I let you go. I looked it up today to see how their season was going. I see they currently have a 4-13 record. Have you had a chance to catch any of their games this season?
Yeah, I went to their season opener against Grandview, which was a close one. And then I've been watching most of them from home.
Well, I assume you'll be playing mostly the 2 and 3 position for them. Is that right? Yeah, you're probably more comfortable on the perimeter anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter as long as, you know, whatever I can do to help.
All right, Colin. Well, hey, really appreciate your time tonight. Hey, I'll see you at the game on Friday.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, you bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for joining me tonight. We had Centennial Girls Basketball Coach Scott DeYoung and Cleo Murray of the Jaguar squad, along with Centennial boys coach Bob Fontana and Colin McAleer. I really thank them for their time. Just give you my quick take on the games coming up on Friday. I think we're going to have 2 good games, even though both Centennial coaches don't think that Ankeny playing on Thursday night will be a factor. I do think maybe it will be, especially if we have 2 hard-fought games that go down to the wire. You know, I'm just not sure if Ankeny's going to have enough gas left in the tank to get through, you know, 2 games in 2 nights, but we'll see. The Centennial girls team is coming off of 2 easy wins last week over Hoover and Marshalltown. And, of course, they had the game postponed last night, so they might be maybe a little rusty at the start, but if they get through that, I do look for the Centennial girls to win that game. And I think maybe the Centennial boys just have too many weapons for Ankeny, but we'll see. I think they are going to be 2 good games, so I'm looking forward to both of them. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.